If you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew 13. So we'll be in Matthew 13 for the next six weeks. Yeah, so this is week number one. There's another 5 weeks after this. And we're not doing it in order. So we're going to start in verse 10 today. Matthew 13, verse 10. And before this, Jesus was doing all kinds of things, and the disciples were seeing what Jesus was doing. And it's very much Matthew showing us what Jesus does. And then we get to this point of teaching in Matthew 13, where we've got more of a teaching rather than a kind of a miracles and that kind of thing. So Matthew 13, verse 10. Then the disciples came to him and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them, indeed, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they've shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.'" May God bless his word to us this morning. So if we have the PowerPoint up. Found that little graphic, the kingdom of God, because it's just to remind us that we're thinking about having a kingdom mindset. And I just want to flag up that this is about complacency. What does it mean when somebody says the word complacency? Well, here's a dictionary definition. It's a feeling of calm satisfaction with our own abilities or situation that prevents us from trying harder. It's a bit harsh, isn't it? Somebody calls you complacent. That's what they mean. It's quite harsh, isn't it? That's from the Cambridge Dictionary. Here's a line from Nicholas Sparks' book, The Message in a Bottle. One of his characters is saying this. "That initial anger she felt turned to sadness, and now it had become something else, almost a dullness of sorts. Even though she was constantly in motion, it seemed as if nothing special ever happened to her anymore. Each day seemed exactly like the last, and she had trouble differentiating among them." Ever have that feeling where you're just going through the motions, when everything's the same, nothing ever changes? Interesting. I think complacency is the inability to enjoy something new. Perhaps. Listen to this. A guy called Aaron W. Matthews said this: "We've always done it this way is invalid when that way hasn't led to more life, greater growth, or maximum efficiency. Take that how you will, business, personally, church, or family. Complacency is too easy to breed and already has one foot in the grave." Whoa. Complacency has also been described as latent talent. Somebody put it as an anagram of complacency. It's not an anagram at all. But it sounds like complacency, latent talent. See, when Matthew wrote his gospel, and when he wrote these verses in particular, I think he was writing to Christians who'd become complacent. They'd given in to the status quo without question. Perhaps it was for those who had lost their desire for Christ and his love for others. Over time and little by little, it had been eroded and replaced with a smug satisfaction that actually, we're okay. How many of you think, I'm okay, I'm all right? You know, the Jews thought that. The Jews thought they were okay. Boy, did they have a surprise when Jesus came. I want to suggest to you, friends, that the church as a whole in the West has been suffering from this terminal condition for quite some time now. In fact, it's been about 1700 years or so. I'm surprised only by the grace of God have we not completely died out. Only by the grace of God we've not died out, because some of us have become so complacent in the way we see the world. You know, Jesus says that he addresses two types of people here. Those that can engage with spiritual things, and those who are complacent in their understanding of them. Those who hear his words and appropriate them, and those who are deaf to his words. Why? Because they've already made their minds up. They already know what they think. You can't teach them anything new, because they know. They've gone complacent in their knowledge and their understanding of God and his word. This whole series is about having a kingdom mindset. And I want to suggest to you today, you can't have a complacent mindset when it comes to thinking about the kingdom of God. It's a dynamic entity that's always shifting and changing. Why? Because that's who God is. He's the God that creates and does stuff. He's not just stuck in a rut. If we're going to have a kingdom mindset, we need to not be complacent. So, now that I've made you feel really good about yourselves, I'm going to teach you how to feel really good about yourselves. No. I've got some antidotes to being complacent. And the first one is this. In nice big text. Be fully open to Jesus and his message. The first antidote to complacency. Because complacency is like a poison. You know when a snake bites you and it's venomous? And then if you have to go and get anti-venom, which is an antidote to the venom. Yeah? Complacency is like that. So we need an antidote. First one is be fully open to Jesus and his message. The disciples come to him and ask, why do you speak to him in parables? And he says this: to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. What's he saying? He's saying this. Disciples, you have been chosen by God to know what I'm telling you. Moreover, the secrets and the truths of the kingdom have been revealed to you. They've been revealed to you. And why is that? Because they followed Jesus. They were fully open to Jesus and his message. So the first antidote to complacency is a full acceptance of Jesus. If you have any doubts about who he is and what he did and what he continues to do, you're going to struggle with talk about the kingdom of God. Why? Because you'll always come back to your preconceived notions of the way it works. You'll only ever make Jesus out who you think he is. He'll only ever be to you the plastic Jesus wobbling on your dashboard of your car. On the other hand, when we accept what the Bible says about him, if we allow God to reveal him to us, we absolutely find he's not what we expected. Hang on a minute. Here's God in human flesh, and I thought he was going to be a nice guy, but here he is taking a cord of whips and telling people off in the temple. For example, you know, I just want to impress upon you, it takes effort to see Jesus afresh. You can't just think, I'll come and read my Bible today and I'm going to see Jesus afresh. The likelihood is, 9 times out of 10, you're going to read the Bible and you're going to read the same thing that you've been reading for 25 years or 50 years or however long you've been a believer. And you're going to read it and you're going to say, right, well, yeah, that means this. And you're going to come to a whole bunch of preconceived notions about what it is. That always happens. We always do that. I do that. And I have to stop myself and say, whoa, don't just read it like you've always read it. Take your lenses off. See it afresh. We've got to catch. When we do that, when we see him fresh, we catch the revelation of his truth. And then what does that happen? What happens then as a result of that? You hear new truth. What do you have to do? You have to change as a result. Not saying that it necessarily will change, based on what I said last week. But change is complacency's evil enemy. Complacency doesn't like change. We'll come back to that later. Second antidote, exercise our spiritual muscles more. Yeah, like that, muscles. All right, okay, I'll just talk in a very boring voice for you all. Verse 12 says this, "For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." That's a bit harsh, Jesus. What are you talking about, taking stuff away from the poor? We're talking about giving stuff to the poor. What are you talking about, taking it away? Actually, he's not talking about the poor. He's not talking about physical and material kind of poverty. What he's talking about here is the ability to see and be aware of spiritual things. Basically, he's talking about spiritual muscles. Spiritual muscles. Because what's quite at work here when he says this is the law of atrophy. You ever heard of atrophy? It's a law of physics that if you've got active muscles, what happens is the more you exercise those muscles, they get bigger and they increase and they're healthy, etc. If you don't, like me, I'm like the second guy, you've got nothingness there. It fades away. And actually, the less and less you use your muscles, the less and less they grow. In fact, they start to fade away. I saw a horrible picture on the internet when I searched for this, and it was of a woman, I don't know how true it is because it's the internet, but it was of a woman who had been abused to the point of not being allowed to get out of bed for years, and she was basically a skeleton. There were no muscles there. She couldn't move. She was just stuck there. When we're complacent, that's what happens spiritually. When we're spiritually complacent, our muscles waste away into nothingness. Jesus says, those who are available and open to spiritual things, more will be added. Your muscles will grow and increase. But to those who are complacent in their thinking about spiritual things, what little they have is going to be taken away anyway because of the law of atrophy. It's going to disappear into nothingness anyway. So the antidote to complacency is to exercise our spiritual muscles. But what does that mean? Because I can say that till I'm blue in the face and it doesn't mean anything. Here are some suggestions. This is not an exhaustive list. These are just some things that popped into my head when I was thinking about them. It means engaging with the sermon every week. It means listening to what I say. And if at some point you think, I really disagree with that, stick with it and investigate it. Go home and say, I think that's wrong. And find it out in Scripture. And then come and tell me, because I need to know when I'm wrong. Investigate it. Now, I would just say on that investigation point, please don't use the internet for your investigation. It's not reliable at all. Get a book, go to Bristol Baptist College Library and find some books and do it that way, or go to a library, but don't use the internet, because the likelihood is you're going to find some weird cult website and you're going to think it's true and it's not. So just beware of the internet. But engage. Actually engage. Don't just sit there. I'm not spoon-feeding you. I don't want to spoon-feed you like a baby. I want you to think for yourselves theologically. Use your spiritual muscles. You have them. Use them. Otherwise, they're going. If you go to small group, if you don't go to small group, please find a small group and join one. If you go to small group, engage with the study. Again, don't just sit there and let us spoon feed you, because that's not what it's for. Engage with it. Ask questions. Say, I don't understand that. That seems stupid. That seems wrong. I don't like it. Engage with it. When you read your Bible and you read something like dash the children's head against their rocks in the Psalms, engage with it. Ask the uncomfortable questions. Say, Lord, why is this in the Bible? Why did you say kill all those people off? Engage with it. Wrestle with it. You might never come to an answer, but at least you're using your muscles. You're exercising. It's like going to the gym. I hate exercise. I can't bear it. But I know I have to do it, because otherwise I get really fat. My dad's testament to that, bless him. Because he doesn't like exercise. He'd tell me off for telling you that. It doesn't matter, he's moving in January to go back to the States. I won't see him anymore. Boo-hoo, yeah. But if you don't exercise, you get fat and your muscles waste away. It's what happens. Here's another idea. Expose yourself to new ways of thinking. You might not agree with it. So think about, go and find some liberal people that you really don't agree with. Listen to what they have to say. You might learn something, and you probably disagree with them. And if you do disagree with them, that's fine. But at least now you know why. Because you've thought about what they've said, and you've gone away, and you've investigated it, and you've dealt with it. Use your spiritual muscles. Here's a bit more personal, and I've had to do this week, I'm sure. I know I have. Engage with the reality of forgiveness. You know, friends, we did the peace today, and that wasn't by chance. I planned that. Because we've got to be at peace with one another. And the biggest part of that is forgiveness. Engage with forgiveness. Who is it that you, as soon as you think of them, you start getting uptight? Your chest tightens and you want to just, oh. Who is it? Because I guarantee you there's a few people like that in your head right now, and you'll know exactly who they are. Like them. Just try and like them. Go on, I dare you right now. Just try and like them. You can't, can you? You can't do it. You've got to forgive. Jesus says, forgive as you've been forgiven. That's exercising your spiritual muscles. It's hard to do, but then no exercise is easy to do when I want to go out for a ride on my bike so that I don't get fat. It's hard. It's hard work going up a hill. But you do it. And here's another one. Learn to deal with your anger, depression, if you suffer from that, and anxiety. You see, now, just a word of caution here. For those that have depression as a chemical issue and you need to take medication, don't stop taking your medication, for the love of God. Please keep taking your medication. I'm not going to tell you to do that. When I talk about anger, depression, anxiety, these are things that stop us. These are emotions that come up and stop us from getting our goal. So you're angry because your goal is blocked. Say you want to be a really good... Say I wanted to be a really good minister. A really, really good... Like a really good... I wanted everybody to feel loved. And, something like that. The problem with that is it depends on all of you to love each other. And that might be a good desire, but it's not a good goal for my life. Because the fact is, it depends on all of you lot to get on. And if you're not getting on, then I'm going to be failing at my goal. So I'm going to be very frustrated and angry. I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to be really depressed because I'm going to be like, oh, they're not, it's going to be hopeless. Because you're not getting on with each other. Say if that was my goal for life. Part of exercising our spiritual muscles is to recognize that the only goal for your life that is valid, that nobody else in the whole world can block, is to be like Jesus. That's the goal of the believer's life, is to be just like Jesus. Nobody else can block that goal except for you. And if you're anxious and struggling and angry, it's probably because you're blocking the goal. I'll give you a personal testimony. I wasn't going to share this, but this past week, I've been racking myself with guilt. So guilty for things I should have done and things I haven't done. And actually, I've been really busy this week. I've been doing loads of stuff. But I've been really guilty about things I haven't done or things I've said or the way I behave. Really guilty. Messages of condemnation have constantly been coming, and I've just been believing them. And until last night, I suddenly thought, hang on a minute, I'm not having this anymore. And 2 Corinthians 10:5, I took every single one of those thoughts captive, and I said, get out of my head, in Jesus' name, this is not how I'm thinking, I'm a child of God, I'm blessed, there's no condemnation for those who trust in Jesus. And I just quoted the truth of God over myself, and I'm back, I can't believe it. But for weeks, I've been guilty and feeling low and like an idiot and all kinds of stuff. I had to exercise my spiritual muscles and deal with these issues. Those are just some things that you can do to exercise. And some of the first few are more about thinking, and the other ones are more about how you feel and choosing to forgive. As we go through this series, remembering that a kingdom mindset is not a complacent mindset. There's going to be uncomfortable truths we've got to deal with. If we're complacent and approach these parables with the same old thinking, we're going to struggle to hear what God's telling us. And we need to be in training for it. That's the second one then. Exercise your spiritual muscles. Third and final antidote I have for you today is to see and hear what God is saying and doing. I'm so glad we had the prayer from Graham about opening ourselves to God, opening our eyes and our ears. Jesus says to the disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, because they hear. And you think, well, that's a bit obvious, Jesus, come on. Everybody's eyes, unless you're blind, everybody's eyes can see. Everybody's ears can hear. But what he's saying here is that you can see and hear and respond to the truth that Jesus is offering, to the new kingdom that Jesus is bringing in. And they're blessed as a result for that. You see, the thing here that I want to pull out is that they were true and genuine followers of Jesus. They hung on his words. They obeyed. They did what he said. They imitated their teacher. Didn't mean they always got the point. Even after he died, they still didn't quite get the point. But they were following. They saw and they listened. And the same should be true for us. Why? Why should we do this? Because this is the essence of true discipleship. You know, he's not asking us to jump off a cliff, is he? He's asking us to follow him wherever he goes. Sometimes that's to difficult places. Sometimes that's to uncomfortable places. Sometimes it's to places like Calais and war-torn places like Iraq and in Syria. And the Middle East, and to Africa. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just to do and see what God's doing right in front of your very eyes. But if you're complacent, you're not going to see what God's doing, and you're not going to respond because you got stuck in a rut of thinking. Other times, Jesus tells us to take time out to listen to him. He says, take some time off. Listen to me. Both, friends, are just as equally difficult as the other. And in some ways, I'd suggest to you, sometimes it's easier to go to an uncomfortable, difficult place and serve, because there's always something to be done. But when Jesus says, take some time out and listen to me, whoa, that's a hard one, especially for me. Failure to do this results in complacency. Why? Because we rest on our laurels. We think we don't need to. Why should I look where God's working? I already know. God's already told me. Yeah. But when does it say in Scripture that God stops speaking? When does it say that he stops doing? He doesn't. He's always doing something. Friends, we can't expect a move of God if we're not willing to see and to hear what God is saying and doing. And similarly, we can't expect a move of God if we're not willing to follow him wherever he leads. So the third antidote is to see and to hear what God is saying and doing. My dad, always talking about my dad a lot today. I don't know why. Just coming up. Maybe it's some any psychologists out there want to tell me why? No, I'm kidding. He used to say this. The last words of a dying church are these. We've always done it that way. Or the classic, we've never done it that way before. Friends, I want to suggest to you that that is the essence, epitome, if you like, of complacency. We've always done it that way. Why are we still doing the same stuff we've been doing for decades and decades? And like the guy at the beginning, what did he say? We've always done it this way is invalid when that way hasn't led to more life, greater growth, or maximum efficiency. Friends, you want to grow, don't you? As a disciple of Jesus, I'm assuming that we want to grow. If we want to really grow, then we can't ever say that. And the minute our dictum becomes that, the reason for doing or not doing something, I'm going to leave. Any church, not just this church, I'll just leave the ministry. I'll just quit because I can't cope with that. Because we need to, we can't be complacent. Friends, what is great is that even if we are complacent, God still loves us. He's got more grace than you know. It's amazing. His grace is amazing. So even if we are complacent, Jesus still loves us. And his grace is sufficient. There's a real challenge here for us in our thinking, isn't there? Jesus said, they say, why do you speak to them in parables? Because they don't listen. Because they don't want to hear it. But he says to them, but you want to hear it. True disciples want to hear what Jesus is saying and want to see what he's doing. I want to do that. I want to be the person that God has called me to be. And I pray that too is your goal as well. Let's spend a minute just praying. And I want you to, if it's helpful, close your eyes and think about an area of your life. It might just be one little area where you know your thinking hasn't changed. It might be with a child. It might be with a boss. It might be with a friend. And you just think, I don't know what else to think. And and perhaps you've got ways of thinking about this situation and you just don't want to try any harder. You just can't, it leads you down the path and you just think, I cannot pursue this anymore. Because your way of thinking about it is so stuck in the mud. And I want you to offer it to God. And you can do that physically, sometimes just holding a hand out like this before God, or both hands out before God, and just saying, Lord, I have become complacent in this situation. It might be to do with things to do with church. It might be anything. And you say, Lord, I recognize I have become complacent in my thinking. I'm going to pray for the Spirit to just reveal that to us right now. And when you've got that thing, just let your hand open before him and say, yes, Lord. And just confess, yeah, I've been complacent. I've let my thinking slip. I don't like change in that thing. I don't want to try any harder. I can't be bothered. And just confess it before God. Holy Spirit, come. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come and reveal to us in our mind's eye those areas in our life. Maybe just that one area in our life where we've become really stuck in the mud in our thinking. We don't want to change. We don't want it to be different. We don't like it. And we're only ever going to think that way because that's the way we've always thought. And we just offer that before you now. Holy Spirit, just reveal that to us. I'm not looking, I've got my eyes closed, so I can't see. So if you put your hands out in front of you, I cannot see. And I won't know what that is anyway. Contrary to popular belief, the minister doesn't know everything. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I really don't. Only Jesus does. So we just offer that thing to you, Lord. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. And as we talked about last week about repentance, changing the way we think, we say we're sorry, Lord, and we repent. We want to have our minds changed. Lord, help us to forgive where we need to forgive. Help us to exercise our spiritual muscles. Help us to see and hear what you're doing and where you're working. And give us willing hearts. Holy Spirit, by your wonderful power, just come and wash away the complacency in our minds. Wash it away so that we are cleansed from from the tops of our heads to the tips of our toes. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing together as we continue to respond. If as we sing you feel led to, or you feel like there's something not quite right and you just want to get prayer for it, just come to the front and sit on the front or stand, whatever, and I'll come and pray with you. And we'll keep this time now in a time of response and of ministry. And if you need a prayer, just say to somebody, or come up to the front and just say, I need prayer for this. We've got to be real with each other, friends. We've got to be able to be vulnerable and to say to each other, yeah, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. And if you want prayer, just let us know. Sing together.